Nation. Sports Radio 730 and 1039. The Ump. Are you ready, Alabama?
Oh, the band is out on the field!
The band is leaving the field.
And one time, at band camp,
love the drum.
Man, I do love my drum.
If you say that's what she said one more time, I'm going to pop you.
You're welcome to join the doghouse.
Oh, God. I'm so sorry. I keep doing that.
Call the big dog now at 866-485-9867.
Be a dog.
The clock starts on my whistle.
How you doing?
It's time for the second half of the Tom Abraham Show. Here he is, the head of the household. Here's drum major Big Dog. It's Tom Abraham.
We strong.
You all may be taking the week off, right, this week, but I'm not.
And welcome back, hour number three of the Tom Abraham Show. Glad you are with us today on Hump Day in a Doghouse. It feels a little bit weird, if you will, because of the fact that we'll be off tomorrow, but that's okay because it is opening day of baseball season tomorrow, and we'll get it going with the Braves here on our air, and it's going to be – okay, so now we're down to 14 games tomorrow. So apparently the game in Cincinnati has already been rained out. So we're going to be down to 14 games tomorrow. But still, it's a glorious day, the opening day of the baseball season. Basketball season is winding down. Bo Estes from NBA TV and NBA.com will be joining us here in just a few moments. Big game last night in Miami on TNT. Players only type deal.
Lennox has enough of this stuff. He hits a three ball. 79-62 Miami. Kelly Olynyk, 13 points.
5 of 7 shooting, couple of three balls. This bench doing a good job. 34 points for Miami.
That guy outscored LeBron. Just saying. That guy outscored LeBron last night. He had 19 points off the bench. LeBron had 18 points. While D-Wade was swatting away shots. It's crazy. I'm not even sure how I feel about them anymore. Now, I thought they were just going to turn it on at some particular point in time. You know what I mean? But I don't even know how I feel about them
anymore. Well, I'm right there with you. I kind of feel I'm not going to lie to you, Big Dog. I still feel like they're going to have a switch to flip. LeBron's going to – you're just going to see this energy out of LeBron and this certain aura radiate from him, and it's just going to magically make his teammates play better. I don't know if that necessarily means another finals – appearance, but I have a feeling they'll flip a switch. But I did want to say this about the Cleveland chasing Boston and Toronto for that 1-2 spot, which, you know, they can't catch Toronto. They'd have to win out and have the Celtics lose out to catch Boston. But if the Celtics win their next game and the Cavs lose, or whenever the Celtics clinch up that 2 spot, listener Garrett, we've talked about this the last couple of days, he owes me lunch.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I didn't realize that. So they're that close to locking them out of that last spot now. No, they can't be. No, yeah, I guess they are.
There's 8 games left.
And 8 Cleveland, games left.
Cleveland's 7 back of the Celtics at the 2 spot.
Oh, my gosh.
And the wager was the Celtics. I said the Celtics would finish a top 2 seed. And if they do, in the East. And if they do, Garrett owes me lunch. And it looks like they're going to.
Yeah, I think you're pretty much locked into that deal right now. Yeah, what are they, 7 games? They're 7 games back of Boston for the 2-hole.
Yes, 10.5 back of Toronto.
They're 3 games ahead of Washington for the 6th spot. I mean, seriously. You know, I don't know. Look, that right now they would be playing Washington in that first-round series. They're not going to get bounced in the first round. But if they were to win that, they would be playing the Celtics in the second round. I don't know that they can beat the Celtics. I really don't. I'm starting to feel like now that I don't think that they could beat the Celtics. Of course, your playoff teams are set in the East. It's just a question of where they're all going to end up. Well, Estes joins us now. It's so busy, and there's so much traffic in Atlanta in anticipation of opening day tomorrow that we couldn't even get Bo Estes at the top of the hour. That's how much traffic there is over there in Atlanta. He joins us now on the Woody Anderson Ford VIP hotline. Bo, welcome back. How are you, man?
I am in that Atlanta traffic. I just got off the air on NBA TV, and as soon as you get out of the parking lot, it's an awful mess. So not a surprise.
Yeah. Are you gonna work your way over to the stadium tomorrow? See, for people that are in town or on the south side of town, is it tough to get up there to the stadium now? I mean, you know, it's got to be a beast to get up there now.
It's not good. It didn't work out well. The challenge is this: if a game's at say 7 p.m., that is perfect intersection with the tail end of traffic, and so if you want to get up there early, you're going up 75 north. Now, I live on Decatur side, so I'd have to come 85 south in traffic and then go 75 north in traffic. So what they did, and you know, I think we probably discussed this, is they just figured that their audience was Cobb County. The Braves just said, our audience is Cobb County. Let's make it as easy as possible for Cobb County. And it's sort of, you know, if you're a Braves fan and you're living over in Decatur, it makes it a lot tougher than it used to be when it was downtown Atlanta. But, you know, they did the demographics, and that's what they arrived at, and they got a whole lot of funding. So, you know, I'm not necessarily going to blame them.
Yeah, but our Braves guy just told us that there was some information that came out, I guess, just recently that showed the financing behind all of that thing, and the Braves are really strapped. You know, apparently their investment, their part of that investment for the battery and all that kind of stuff has put them in a little bit behind the eight ball. And, you know, the opening day is like 24 hours away, and they're planning for 2019, I guess, already. They're like, wait till next year.
Well, the sad part about it is the whole idea behind SunTrust Park is it was going to be sort of a baseball version of tanking until you get to SunTrust Park. And they were supposed to be good in year one on SunTrust and compete for, you know, a championship, a division crown, whatever you want to call it. But they were supposed to be good. They were not. They're still not supposed to be good. And so it's a little bit of poor timing. Now, I have talked to people. The idea is that you're supposed to consider the Braves more than a baseball team. Now, they're a real estate company and stuff like that. And so it depends on how you look at the numbers, I suppose. But, you know, I don't think things are going great. I don't think things are as good as they would have hoped. And, you know, the splash to make was last year's splash. That didn't happen. So now they're sort of fighting it a little bit, and hopefully they get it together because, you know, the Hawks aren't doing well. The Falcons are a pretty solid team, but they, you know, they're sort of falling off of the Super Bowl. We'd like to see another team win here in Atlanta.
Well, you got a really good double-A soccer team there, though, right? Your MLS team's pretty good.
It's the best experience in Atlanta for, if you want to go to a sports event in Atlanta, the best experience is the Atlanta United game. I cannot recommend it enough. Tickets are affordable, and it's so much fun. The crowd is just maniacal. Kids love it. They really have taken off, and it's really taken root in the city. So it is the success story in Atlanta right now.
Yeah. It's, you see, people don't, and it's good. I mean, it's like the dirty little secret is that there are, like, you know, six leagues in Europe that play better soccer than the MLS, and but it's the best we got. You know what I mean?
We couldn't compete with Barcelona. We couldn't compete with Real Madrid.
No.
You know, look, that problem even exists in Europe because the English Premier League, which is for many years considered the number one league, those guys can't compete with Real Madrid and Barcelona and Bayern Munich. So they even have that over there too.
Yeah, but I mean, even you know, our best teams would get crushed in the Italian league or in Spain or in the Premiership or anything. I think the second division of the Premiership would be, you know, our best MLS teams would really struggle even in the second division of it. So it's, you know, it is what it is. It's always going to be that way. But it's why we love our baseball and our basketball, our football and our hockey, is because we have the best of those leagues. This is the best in the world playing in those leagues here, whereas you don't have that with soccer, obviously.
And I think that's always looms over your head when you're watching a soccer match, is if you're an Atlanta United fan, is our best player going to take off and head to, you know, Italy or Spain or whatever? how long are we going to have this guy for? It's almost like the one and done of college basketball.
Yeah, yeah. All right, we had Mystery Science Theater basketball last night. It was players only night. It really points up the. It was funny. I was going back and forth with a TV guy in Charlotte that's a friend of mine about this on Twitter, and I think one of the things that it really points up. There's parts of it that are really fun. You know, to hear players jibber jabbering, you know, along as the game is going on, but it really points up how good and how important a real pro play-by-play guy is. I mean, you can have all of that other conversation. Certainly they've got it on ESPN and others, you know, when they've got their you know, color analysts in there and they're having a good time. But it's really nice to have a real good, you know, a professional play-by-play guy. It makes it tough to listen to sometimes.
Well, I mean, everybody has their jobs out there. When I see Shaq call an NBA highlight when he's the host on Players Only, I like my job possibilities. I really do. I feel like I got a job for a while. So, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, Shaq's an analyst, and those of us that call highlights and do studio shows, that's what we do, and you spend years developing that skill. I mean, look, a guy like Ernie Johnson didn't just become that good right out of college. It takes years and years of development. And I look at some of my stuff from 2003 and I'm like, man, what in the world? And I think we all do if we've been in this business long enough. You get better and better and you get to a point where you're really comfortable. But it's a job. It really is a job. And so, you know, I think you can look at it that way and say, the people that do what I do are specialists. And so hopefully that's valued.
Hey, look, Dwayne Wade just swatted away another shot from LeBron James. Not once, twice, from behind. I mean,
You think he knew what was coming? You think he knew at all what was coming there?
Man, I mean, do you know a guy that well? I mean, when a guy goes to take the shot that you can slip in, you can cheat down behind him and knock the ball out of his hands. And LeBron was, like, bewildered. You know what I mean? He was like, what the heck's going on? And it's like, I mean, it was uncanny by D-Wade.
Well, you know, he knows the scouting report on – we all know the scouting report on LeBron is that he finishes hard going to his right up and over. But, you know, sometimes when he goes to his left and there's a little contact there, he goes sort of a little softer and a little more evasive. And, boy, D-Wade saw it coming and just – basically, when you're help side blocking on that, you're taking a flyer on it. I'm going to go up, and if he does what I think he does, I'm going to swat him. And, boy, D-Wade got him twice. Really good. It was on our top 10 last night. And, you know, the thing that's good is I really enjoy the friendship those two have. And but I enjoy to see them compete like that against each other, too.
Yeah. You know, I'll tell you what it did for me. Now, I predicted on this very radio show right here yesterday. I'm not afraid to say it because I'm not, you know, I'm not so egotistical to think that, I know everything. Almost, but not quite there. I predicted that the Cavs would win by double digits because I thought that if there was a game where we could see the switch get flipped and LeBron want to show them, you know, who their daddy is, this was a game LeBron drops 35 to 40 if he has to, and they blow the heat out and little brother D-Wade. And it went exactly the opposite way. LeBron ends up with 18 points in the game. My God, Kelly Olynyk had more points than him coming off the bench for the Heat. And now it has me really worried about the Cavs' ability to go on at least past the second round. I think Boston clips them in the second round, and they do not look like a team that can throw the switch.
I can't stress to you how important Kevin Love is in the equation for the Cleveland Cavaliers now. He was option number three last year behind LeBron and Kyrie. He has to be option number two. And when he has been out this season, it's painful to watch that team play because, you know, who's option two if Kevin Love is out? Is it Jordan Clarkson? Is it Rodney Hood? Who of these guys can step up and, you know, when LeBron's sitting down, take shots, make shots, and beat a team? There isn't that guy that exists anymore. So the Cleveland Cavaliers really are dependent upon the health of their two superstars, and then those complementary players can play the roles successfully that they're designed to play. If Kevin Love is healthy, the Cavs team can threaten anybody. But if it's not Kevin, if Kevin Love's not there, like he got banged up, he got knocked in the teeth last night by Jordan Mickey. And what's unbelievable about that is he had a mouth guard in and he still got wailed. Yeah. But if he's not there, that team's in real trouble. I really, really don't see how they go far if Kevin Love's not fully himself.
Well, the other thing that's weird about that is that he came back in the game and now he's in the concussion protocol, not in the construction zone, but in the concussion protocol, Kevin Love. And, yeah, that's a little bit spooky, too. I mean, I don't know what the in-game deal is with basketball, but if he's in the concussion protocol now, how is he going back into a game after going in and getting his chiclets fixed, during the game?
I think what happened, and I just did a news report on this, and I don't have the timeline in front of me, but I think what happened is he got knocked. He had his tooth worked on. He goes back in the game. Then during halftime in the locker room, he felt some concussion-like symptoms and was put in the concussion protocol at that point. I think that's the timing of how that worked out. He did not have any effects immediately. Now, your response to that immediately is, well, let's check further anytime somebody gets knocked in the head. And I think everybody's got to work to do a better job of that. But I think that's the timing of how that went down.
Yeah, yeah. By the way, I went back and checked. I went and watched every single Michael Jordan game of his career. Never did he get swatted back from behind like that twice in a game. I'm just going to tell you that right now. That's another thing that never happened to Michael that happened to LeBron. But and LeBron is not the MVP. I mean, I don't know if he gets a vote because he's a former MVP. I guess he gets a vote maybe, but he is not the MVP. But it's weird. I mean, obviously, he's still one of the greatest players in the world. I don't know that he is the greatest player in the world anymore, but he's not the MVP. I mean, you got to go with James Harden, don't you?
The MVP is an award for what you did this season, the numbers you put up, the performance you had. The MVP race is over. James Harden has won it. It is done. I said the other day on Twitter, do not click on another link talking about MVP candidates. Don't watch another segment on TV talking about who's the MVP. It is done. Now, I have a friend who writes a weekly segment on the MVP said, come on now, man. But yeah, I'm telling you, it's done. James Harden has won this thing. It is over. But it's the discussion everybody has all the time, MVP versus best player. There were other people that won MVP during Michael Jordan's prime, and every GM on those teams where a player won MVP not named Michael Jordan would have traded that player in a second for Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
Michael Jordan was the best player, and everybody knew it. It's just MVP is not a best player award. It's just numbers you put up this season.
Yeah, and then there's the age-old question. Is it the most valuable player in the league? Is it the most valuable player to his team? We all know what the Cavs look like without LeBron. I don't know what the Rockets look like without Harden, though. You know, he's got a little bit more help, obviously. But you know, I tell you another thing Michael never did. He never went on three or four sentences about how great he is and how he would vote for him to be the MVP and all the things that he did. And you know, that particular year, I don't think he ever like kind of made a case for himself as the MVP. That was a little unbecoming, I thought, of LeBron.
I mean, I think the thing is, it's just, there's so much more media now and these guys get asked the same questions over and over and over and over and over again. And there was a lot when MJ was playing. Don't get me wrong, because I was covering it then, too. There was a lot. It's just so much more now. And, right, LeBron's personality is a little different than MJ's. MJ was, you know, supreme confidence or arrogance, whatever you want to call it. But he didn't need to tell you he was the best player because everybody else would tell you he's the best player. And he didn't need anybody. And I think most people would tell you LeBron's the best player. But maybe some people would tell you Steph's the best player or KD or James Harden. So I think LeBron doesn't feel maybe quite as comfortable in his league-wide supremacy as MJ did during his heyday. I'd say that.
You know, this story I'm reading about it, too, and about the numbers that have put up, and even LeBron's numbers that he has put up, averaging 27 points, 9 assists, and 8 rebounds. It says in the story, it's an NBA rarity. And then the next sentence is, Oscar Robertson had numbers like that 5 times in 5 straight years, and he won one MVP.
And he was scoring points without the benefit of a three-pointer, too.
Without a three-point line. And Harden and Westbrook did it the last couple of years. But, you know, you see these seasons that pop up like this, and it just goes back to the greatness of Oscar Robertson, I think one of the most underrated guys in the history of the NBA. He did it 5 years in a row. He had these kind of numbers.
I think it's fair to think of Oscar Robertson as a guard version of Wilt Chamberlain numbers-wise.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is you know, I don't want to slight today's players. I really don't, because I think they're unbelievable and amazing and every other superlative I can assign to them. But the three-point shot means there are more long rebounds that are available for guards. That did not happen when Oscar Robertson was going and getting rebounds. They were not shooting from that far away, and the ball was not caroming that far back towards guards. He had to go and retrieve those. So, to me, his numbers are even better than what you see on paper comparing them to modern-day players because of what he had to do to achieve them. He was just an unbelievable talent, and I think you're right. He doesn't get the credit he deserves, but I think if you wanted to think of him as the guard version of a Wilt Chamberlain as far as just accruing numbers, he's right there.
We know Toronto's gonna very, very much most likely be the one seed. Boston's gonna be the two seed. We don't know that Cleveland's gonna be the three seed. I mean, they're just a half a game ahead of Philadelphia and Indiana, just three games ahead of Washington. Miami in that seven hole is interesting, and the Bucks in the eight hole. And I say Miami in that seven hole, I think Miami could frustrate the Celtics a little bit. I don't know if they could knock them off. I don't think anybody can knock off the top four seeds at Philadelphia, Indiana. If it ends up being those guys, you know, could be a toss-up either way. But you wonder about the Heat and whether or not they could give somebody a hard time if they move up into the six hole and they got to go seven with the Cavs. Or can they give the Celtics some aggravation, or whether or not you just pencil the top three in for sure?
Well, look, I know where your producer stands on this, but I tell you this. I think the team you want to face in the first round right now is the Boston Celtics, and I say this only because the uncertain status of Kyrie Irving and his health. So if Miami can go in there and play that wonderful defensive ball and get that seven roll, they flip-flopped last night with Milwaukee. Milwaukee was seven. They're now eight, and Miami's now seven. If they can get Boston in a series and Kyrie Irving is either not playing or not fully healthy, much like Steph was 2 years ago when he came back, I think there's an opportunity there. I'm not saying that they're going to win, but I think if you're a really tough defensive team like Miami is, you can frustrate them and you can do some damage. And you have a shot because, look, Miami has players that can get hot, that can shoot, and you know, on several days rest in the playoffs. I've said it before, Dwayne Wade is a much better player than he is on a back-to-back, or if he's having to play, you know, two games in 3 days or three games in 5 days. He's a much better player in the playoffs.
Enjoy the opening day traffic tomorrow. Have a good time with
Thank
that. You. And as always, we appreciate you. Bo Estes, NBA TV, NBA.com is where you will find him. Thanks, Bo.
Take care, Tom. See you, bud.
Thanks. Solid. All right, when we come back, let's talk NFL. Let's start with Jeff Diamond. He's a former NFL executive of the year. He's a former Titans president. He's also a consultant for an agency that deals with players, so this is a very big time for them. And he writes a column for the Sporting News. What more do you want? Jeff Diamond is next right here at 730 1039. Yep.
Sports Radio 730 1039. The Ump.
Want to tell you about my friends at Madison RV Supercenter. If you're in the market for a fifth wheel, travel trailer, toy hauler, maybe a motorhome, Class A or Class C, Madison RV Supercenter has used and new inventory for you. The prices are second to none. You can finance it on site. You can rent RVs at Madison RV Supercenter. Trade yours in. Come check out the parts and service department as well. Go to MadisonRV.com or call 256-837-3883.
Listen to what Dave Ryan says about Andro 400.
Andro 400, I really love it. It's amazing to me that I feel so good. I've lost 50 pounds. I was a size 38 waist. I've gone down to a 32 waist. My mood has changed. I don't get stressed out. It gave me so much more energy. Energy to walk. Energy to play sports. Everything is starting to work again. It feels like I'm 25. My wife is happy. I'm so happy. I'm just a completely different man. I'm taking this stuff to the grave with me.
Men, have you lost energy and gained belly fat? Are you feeling stressed out? Fight back with Andro 400, the safe, natural, and inexpensive way to increase your testosterone. For over a decade, Andro 400 has helped men lose belly fat, gain energy, and feel 20 years younger. Go to andro400.com. Andro400.com or call 888-400-0435. 888-400-0435.
The credit card companies are bullies, and they don't fight fair. Once they max out your debt, they keep hitting you when you're down, slamming you with outrageous interest rates and late fees to make sure you never get on your feet again. But now you have someone in your corner who will help you fight back and get debt-free faster than you ever imagined. We're Clear One Advantage. Call us now for free information to see how quickly you can resolve your debt. 1-800-330-5822. We'll stand up to the credit card companies and fight to help you resolve your debt in the shortest time possible and save the most money possible, too. Your satisfaction is 100% guaranteed. If we don't resolve your debt, you don't owe us a single penny. So let us give you a fighting chance to defeat your debt. Call now for this life-changing free information and see how much you could save. 1-800-330-5822. That's 1-800-330-5822.
Coming up Thursday morning on Three Man Front, Vegas Runner makes his debut. Also, Ole Miss head football coach Matt Luke joins us at 10:15. That's 10 to 2 right here on Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Ump.
Let's go inside the mind of a 10-year-old.
I should have worn earrings today.
Buckle up, Sarah.
Michaela's got, like, the best earrings.
Sarah, buckle up.
I wish my name was Michaela.
We're not hitting the road until you buckle up, honey.
Oh, yeah. Seatbelt. I wonder if there's pizza at school today.
It can be tough getting through the kids, but it's your job to make sure they're wearing your seatbelts. Never give up until they buckle up. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council. Visit safercar.gov/kidsbuckleup for more information.
Catholic Charities is committed to providing life's basic needs. We teach social independence and encourage our clients to want more for their lives and the lives of their families. We seek to break down the walls of division that keep our sisters and brothers excluded or rendered disposable by our society.
We thank you for bringing us all here today, letting these people understand how Catholic Charities runs and how important these people are to the people in the neighborhood. And we ask you to guide them, to protect them, and keep them here forever because this community needs them. And we ask you to bless every single person, whether they're here for help, or they're an employee, or a volunteer.
Visit www.catholiccharitiesusa.org to learn more.
Hello, I'm Hector Elizondo, Emmy Award-winning actor, and I want to talk to you about getting older. My body hurts, my joints ache, and sometimes I forget.
I forget that doing all your own scenes for a movie isn't always the best decision. Especially when you're galloping side saddle down a countryside road on a horse named Archibello, who seems to have only one speed, high. And pulling on his reins only seems to encourage him to go even faster. So, of course, my body hurts and my joints ache, but it's not because of my age. It's because I'm living my life. Oh, Archibello!
Don't let life pass you by. Take care of your brain health. It may just help you stay on top of your game.
As soon as this scene wraps, I'm going to kiss the ground, thank Archibello for his outstanding performance, feed him a carrot, and visit brainhealth.gov.
Find out how you can make the most of your brain as you age at brainhealth.gov.
Weather sponsored by Kubota. Ever wonder what's behind those orange tractors? Kubota offers efficient engineering from ag to construction, from zero-turn mowers to RTVs. Find a dealer at gokubota.com.
Read the sign. Beware of dog. Tom Abraham is back.
Jeff Diamond is a former NFL Executive of the Year. Also former president of the Tennessee Titans from their glory years in the early 2000s. And now he's a columnist for the Sporting News. Also does some consulting work for an agent up in the hinterlands of Minnesota. And this year, The executive of the year is Howie Roseman, and Jeff Diamond joins us now on a Woody Anderson Ford VIP hotline. Jeff, welcome back. How are you?
I'm doing great, Tom. How are you?
I'm fantastic. This Howie Roseman story is amazing, isn't it? I mean, when you think about it, just a couple of years ago, yeah, he was being kind of blown out, losing that power struggle to Chip Kelly, and then they bring him back in, and now he's the executive of the year.
Yeah, it definitely is a story of persistence and resilience and all those type of characters that you want to have. And it, as I wrote in the story, it's really about the roller coaster life of an NFL exec or an exec in pro sports, really, in management, because you're going to have some ups and downs. And Howie knows that as well as anybody, because he certainly had some ups and downs with the Chip Kelly regime and then having Kelly take over his GM job, and Roseman got demoted, and then gets his job back a year later when Kelly gets fired. But obviously he was on a short leash with the owner and with the fans in Philadelphia. And so all that happened after that was he pushed all the right buttons and had some great free agent signings, had the Carson Wentz trade that did well, and then found a pretty good backup quarterback in Nick Foles, by the way, who he had originally drafted. And so it all came to fruition for them, and obviously with the great success in the Super Bowl. So very well deserved for Howie, and he's been through the battles there.
Yeah, I seem to remember a situation like that. It was kind of semi-similar. I don't know, it was a thousand years ago, I think. There was a coach and a GM and a team president that was going to the playoffs every year, gone to the Super Bowl, and the contracts were up, and the owner decided he could only keep two out of the three. And Jeff Diamond was no longer the president of the Titans, and they haven't won a playoff game since, right? So I'm just saying, I don't know if it's a true story, but it's pretty close to a true story.
Yeah, that's basically about what happened. And so it was kind of the golden rule, and Bud had the gold, and he ruled. So that was about it. But I had a great 5-year run in Tennessee and great time in Nashville. And it's been fun. We just recently, as I think I told you, we recently moved back to Minneapolis, St. Paul, our hometown, and our son took a job with the Vikings, and so it's been a lot of fun to be back here. But it was a little cold this winter here, a little tough adjustment there, and I don't think my golf season is going to start as early as yours, Tom.
Yeah. Well, you and I played one time in 25-degree weather, but I don't ever want to do that again. So we did
in Bowling Green. I remember that day.
Great golf course in Bowling Green. Yeah, right. It was a great course. We only saw 9 holes. Said, "What the heck with this?" I still have the cap I bought that day, though. That stocking cap I bought to play in that day, though. That's for sure.
Right,
Jeff Diamond with us here. By the way, speaking of the Vikings, I mean Kirk Cousins. Can Kirk Cousins have a year any better than Case Keenum did, though? I mean, they're paying this guy $35 million a year or whatever it is. He can't play any better than Case Keenum. I guess the projection would be that he'll be more consistent, that, you know, that was a special year for Case Keenum. But it kind of seemed weird in a way. I mean, you put all that money into a quarterback and then just hope he has the same kind of year the guy you had last year had.
Yeah, well, they're hoping he has a better year. They're hoping he takes them one step further, which is to get to the Super Bowl, since they lost in the NFC Championship. And not that was Case Keenum's fault. That day, the whole Viking team played poorly, and Philadelphia obviously was on a great run at that point in time too. And Nick Foles had the great game, but I agree with you to a certain extent. The Cousins' contract, which is $28 million a year guaranteed, $84 million over three, and Case Keenum goes ahead and signs for $18 million a year in Denver, which was a great raise for him because he made $2 million last year in Minnesota, but he did have an excellent year, his best year as a pro, and I think he ranked fifth or sixth in the league in quarterback rating and went 13-2 as a starter and then he went 1-1 in the playoffs, obviously. But I think that, can you say that Kirk Cousins is $10 million a year better than Case Keenum? Probably not. But I think when you have a salary cap of $177 million, if that's what you judge to be, that you think he's a better player than Keenum, he's had more career success. Now, what he hasn't done, Kirk Cousins, is ever won a playoff game. He's been one playoff game in 6 years. That's not all his fault, because of the supporting cast he had in Washington, and he'll have a lot better supporting cast in Minnesota. But the pressure is going to be immense, absolutely, because the expectation is that he needs to take them further than Case Keenum did, which was to the NFC Championship. So he's got to go to the Super Bowl, or there's going to be second guessing.
He's been a 500 quarterback, and I love him. I like Kirk Cousins a lot. I like a lot of the things he brings to the table. But, you know, sometimes guys have tremendous numbers and are 500 quarterbacks, and then they go to a team that's got a better supporting cast, and they still have some big numbers, but for whatever reason don't finish off and win a game. You know, what there is, there's so much that goes into winning a game in the NFL, and a margin is so tight that you just don't know all the factors that are in there. And, you know, what you don't want to see happen is him have a, you know, wonderful fantasy year and throw for 4,000 yards and then just have a couple of turnovers at the wrong time, and you're a 9-7 team anyway. You know, you say, hey, I'm going 9-7 with the other guys.
Yeah, and that's the fear, obviously, and there's always risk in free agency, and I'm sure Rick Spielman, the Vikings GM, is thinking about all that. But the other thing is that there's a lot being made about, okay, he's the highest-paid quarterback in the NFL, highest-paid player in the NFL right now, after he surpassed Garoppolo's deal in San Francisco. But that's not going to last, because we know Matt Ryan's going to sign a bigger deal. We know Aaron Rodgers is going to sign a bigger deal. There'll be a handful of guys. Perhaps Marcus Mariota and Jameis Winston, if they have better years next year, they could be on track to be in that $30 million range. So this contract right now, today, is the richest in the NFL. It's not going to last, because a bunch of quarterbacks are going to surpass him real quick.
Yeah, Jeff Diamond with us. We're talking some NFL, and you know, and I'm not wishing this on Case Keenum, but man, we have seen so many stories of quarterbacks that have had great years, cashed out, including the guy we just talked about, Nick Foles, who just won a Super Bowl. You know, some people forget that with Chip Kelly, he had that season, 21 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, Pro Bowl quarterback, all of that, and it just didn't work out for him at St. Louis or anywhere else that he went. I think he was in Arizona for a minute too, and it just didn't work out, and all of a sudden he looked like a world beater again back in Philadelphia. And we've seen guys, the Matt Flynn's and Scott Mitchell, I want to go old school, Rob Johnson. I mean, there's been a lot of guys that have gotten paid off of doing something, and then it just doesn't pan out, you know, wherever they go.
Yeah, and I think the hope for the Vikings is that this guy is different, that with the supporting cast, he's extremely bright and a very hard worker. Not that those other guys weren't, but he's got a strong enough arm. He's got the size. He's got a little bit of escapability. And so I think that it's going to be really one of the big storylines of the season coming up, is to see how he performs here. And I guess it hasn't been announced yet, but it sounds like opening day of the season will be Kirk Cousins and the Vikings going to Philadelphia. So we'll see pretty quickly how he's doing against that Philly team. That all Howie Roseman has done is make them better by trading for Michael Bennett and adding Nnadi and a corner and Worley. He's done some really good things there in the offseason, even with a tight salary cap.
You know, and Bennett is a guy that's had some offseason trouble, got himself jammed up on a couple of different things. We see his name when we don't need to be seeing his name. And that brings me to Odell Beckham Jr. in New York. And Jarvis Landry keeps putting out tweets about come join us in Cleveland and everything. And he's getting dangerously close. I don't think they can do that. I mean, at some point in time, that's tampering. I know Joe Thomas got shut down on some of the comments that he was saying about various things at some point. And but in any event, you know, the Giants, is this ultimately, would that be addition by subtraction if they could get something for him? I personally wouldn't want him in Cleveland. I think the guy is too much of a diva. He's got too much baggage. But for the Giants, if they could get – they ain't going to get 2 first-round draft picks. But if they could get 1 first-round draft pick for Odell Beckham Jr., would it make sense for them to get him out of New York?
Yeah, I would think and I wrote about this last week in Sporting News. I said if I was Dave Gettleman, the GM there, I would trade him, because I just think that – there's too much baggage, as you said. He is too much of a diva. I think that eventually I think the guy's going to mature, and that can happen, but because he's 25 years old right now. But it just seems his agenda now is to party and to be with celebrities and to be that diva type personality. And so that really would not excite me. And it's been on the field and off the field. The battles with Josh Norman, very selfish, self-centered things he's done there. And so, Yeah, and then now on top of that, he's coming off an injury and he's threatening a holdout. He thinks he should be he thinks he should be not only the highest paid receiver in the league, he thinks he should be the highest paid player in the league, which is absolutely insane. And so I think they're going to have a contract problem with him. Yeah, and so if I were the Giants and if I could get a first and something else, maybe a first and a third or something like that, I would definitely move him because I just think that they've got enough other needs. And I think they can find other receivers who can plug in. He's a great player if he's on his game and he's right, but there's just so much extraneous stuff that you get with a guy like that. So I would definitely trade him if I could get the right price.
Jeff Diamond with us here talking some football. And to this particular draft, Browns continue to sit in this position where they've got the one and the four. Everybody expects them to take a quarterback one. Most people think quarterbacks could go one, two, three. That the Giants could go quarterback there. They could go running back with Saquon Barkley. The problem is that how do you differentiate between these guys, Josh Allen, Sam Darnold, Josh Rosen, and I'll even say Baker Mayfield because he just seems dynamic, and I'm not going there with the Johnny Manziel, comparisons. I think he's bigger than I think he might be closer to a Brett Favre type possibly, but in your eyes – if you're the Browns, do you take somebody else at one and then just take the quarterback that's left at four, knowing that they're all about the same? How do you determine if one is really worth being any better than the other two or three?
Yeah, I think that's the big question for John Dorsey, the GM there, to deal with. And if he is absolutely has separated one of those guys, then I would definitely take him because it's still a quarterback-driven league. And, yeah, you'd like to get Barkley and then get one of those quarterbacks. But if he has separated Darnold or whoever the quarterback is, then he should make that move because that's the most important position by far. And you can find running backs that are still good players. And I love Saquon Barkley. I love his potential. But still, I think it's the quarterback that's going to drive the train on an NFL team. So if he's got them rated fairly equally, then yeah, I would go ahead and think about the running back. And so I think that would probably be a good move. But if he has separated Darnold or Rosen or Mayfield or Josh Allen or whoever the case may be, and you can probably throw Lamar Jackson in, who a lot of people think will be a first rounder too, not that high. And so, yeah, it's a tough call and an important call because the Browns have been, as you know, Tom, such a mess for so long.
And
a big part of the problem has been the quarterback position. So they need to address that in this draft. And Tyrod Taylor is not going to be the long-term answer there.
No. And I like the option of Dorsey. I don't know that, Hugh Jackson is the guy that's going to see them out of the woods. I couldn't believe that a guy could survive an 0-16, a 1-31. I mean, that's just amazing, but we'll see how that whole thing works out there. All right, Jeff Diamond with us. Your old colleague, Bill Polian. I first met Bill Polian when I was a college football coach, and he was the director of scouting along with John Butler. He was the head of scouting at Buffalo at the time, and then he rose to be the GM there and so on. And he was a wonderful, wonderful host for the college coaches that would come in and coach in the summertime and stuff like that. And so I've known Bill Polian for a while, got great, great respect for him. And he's one of the co-founders of this new league, the Alliance of American Football. Terrible name, but they really seem to have their stuff together, with the guys that are involved, the players that are involved, a TV contract with CBS, a broadcast network, already in line to do their opening day game and their championship game. It seems like they've got their stuff together and they have a long-term plan and a lot of money. What is your thought about this whole operation and whether or not this can work in this day and age, a 10-team league in the spring?
Yeah, I think it can work if they can keep the salary structure under control and they can keep the single entity structure where the league is going to basically sign the players, own the players, and if you can keep that under control and then have management people in each city, I think that there is a market for it. I really do. And so because I think that there is a desire to have football year-round. Now, on the other side of the coin, we know American sporting fans, they like major league stuff. And there's a graveyard of all these spring leagues. And so, but again, part of the problem is, were they structured right? Were they handled right? I do like the fact that they've got ESPN involved, because they're obviously, the networks are looking for content that time of year. And so I think there's some really good things about this. And Bill's a quality guy involved at the top of the pyramid, as long as he's going to be involved to a great extent. And so I think that there is some really good potential for this. Is it a slam dunk? No, because as I said, it's still a minor league, and that's a problem that I think is kind of incumbent in all sports in America. You got to have major league stuff going on, and that would be a concern. And so I think that's been one of the problems, I think, for the MLS, is the perception that they, as a soccer league, can't really compete worldwide. When you've talked about the Premier Leagues in Europe, where these players are making 20 some million dollars, the Ronaldos and those players, and here these guys over here, it's a whole different deal. So the MLS is doing okay, but is it ever going to be a great success? I'm not sure about that.
No, well, anybody who knows anything about soccer knows the quality of play too is basically a double A level. There's six leagues in Europe that play better soccer than the MLS,
as
opposed to football, and baseball, hockey, basketball. You know, we have the best of the world is right here in those other leagues. All right, would they have to forge a deal, or if they could forge a deal with the NFL to develop players, third string quarterbacks, guys that are buried on the depth chart, guys that are coming in as free agents? I would think that would be the thing that could really sustain it. I know that was part of the concept of the World League, but there were some real good things that came out of that. If they were their own league, but they had a way of developing talent for the NFL, wouldn't that be the ultimate thing for them to really, you know, survive, to have that kind of feeder system, so we could see these guys, you know, be in a camp in July then after their league is over?
Yeah, I agree with you, Tom. I think that is the ticket to make it work and to have success. And I think that the World League was doing some good things. And I was the GM of the Vikings during those years. And we sent Brad Johnson over to NFL Europe, and he played and got experience and came back to us and became our starter and ended up part of that 15-1 team before we traded him to Washington, because we had Randall Cunningham on that team as the MVP. But Brad Johnson eventually won a Super Bowl in Tampa Bay after we traded him to Washington. So he got the experience that he needed as a young player who was not getting play time sitting behind Warren Moon at that time. And so it can be really valuable, I think, for players and especially for quarterbacks in their development to get a chance to play. And so, if they can forge a relationship with the NFL, and I know that in their contracts they're saying that a player can leave immediately if he has an NFL offer, and that's the way it should be structured. So I think the league has potential. I really do. And I think it's just, as I said, the only concern I would have is the fact that it is still a minor league. And part of the thing, too, is you got to be careful with your markets that you choose. And if they can choose markets that are not necessarily top-tier NFL markets, I think maybe there's a better chance to be successful and where they're going to get behind the team and so forth. So I think it's been really interesting to watch.
Yep. All right, Jeff, as always, I appreciate you. Great stuff, and we'll look forward to talking again. We're reading your stuff at The Sporting News.
Hey, thanks, Tom. All the best to you and your family.
All right, thanks, you too. Jeff Diamond. All right, it's a good break. We'll come back, wrap this hour up. Tom Abraham Show, 730-1039 AM.
Sports Radio 730 and 1039, The Ump. Now, it's time for your Atlanta Braves update.
Braves wrap up exhibition play with a win over the Stars of Tomorrow. I'm Kevin McAlpin, and your Braves update's coming up next.
Become a Braves A-list member for the 2018 season and enjoy the best of what SunTrust Park has to offer. Visit Braves.com/A-list.
Tuesday night at SunTrust Park, the Braves defeated the Future Stars Ball Club by a score of 7-4 in their final exhibition game before opening day on Thursday. Atlanta got a run in the first as Ender and Ciarte would score on a wild pitch, and another in the second as a run would score on an error. But the Future Stars came right back in the third, tying the game with a two-run homer from center fielder Christian Pache. Two innings later, Pache did it again, homering into the bullpen in left field. Sean Newcomb, in his final spring tune-up, allowed three runs on six hits over 4 2/3. And said he's pleased with what he's accomplished since the start of spring training.
Spring as a whole has gone pretty well. Been a pretty good progression going from the start to finish. I mean, I feel like I came in throwing strikes pretty well, started doing that a lot better. You know, off speed picked up pretty well, so it's been good. I feel ready.
Braves will now have tonight off and get ready to kick off the 2018 regular season tomorrow afternoon at SunTrust Park against their division rival Philadelphia Phillies. With the Braves, I'm Kevin McAlpin for the Atlanta Braves Radio Network.
Durability of tile, the beauty of wood. It's easier than ever to have both with Wood Look Tile. The Home Depot makes the wood look floor you want affordable with Ansley Amber Wood Look Tile starting at $1.89 a square foot. It truly is the best of both worlds, durable and beautiful. Ansley Amber Wood Look Tile starting at just $1.89 a square foot, only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Selection varies by store.
Here's what you'll hear tonight on The Ump.
There are no games on the air tonight, but you can tune in tomorrow for opening day of baseball where the Atlanta Braves will be taking on the Philadelphia Phillies. That's all right here on The Ump.
Join Macy's and make good sense to round up, give back, and help support your local food banks. Here's how it works. Shop any Macy's store, round up your purchase, and donate your extra change up to 99 cents in support of Macy's Bag Hunger. Your donation will go to your store's local food bank and help feed families in your community. Round up your in-store purchase and make good sense and help bag hunger today at your local Macy's. Learn how you can help at Macy's.com/Macy's Gives.
The thought of my sons growing up without me inspired me to quit smoking.
I talked to my doctors, and then I threw away all my cigarettes, ashtrays, and lighters.
I started exercising instead of smoking.
Getting support from friends online kept me on track.
Staying away from alcohol when I was first quitting was key.
Instead of smoking after I ate, I'd get up and take a walk.
I missed having a cigarette in my hand, so I'd hold a pen or a straw, anything.
Until I knew I wouldn't give in to temptation, I spent more time with my friends who didn't smoke.
I went to places that were smoke-free.
I didn't stay quit the very first time I tried.
I kept on trying, and I learned something each time.
Do whatever it takes.
No matter how many times it takes.
I quit.
I quit.
I quit.
We did it, so can you.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and CDC.
The best radio in North Alabama, period.
You go find them, you throw your arms around them, you give them a big kiss on the mouth if you're a girl.
On Sports Radio 730 and 1039 The Ump.
Hi, I'm Megan Hoffer, and welcome to Heartbeat. Probably each of us as a child played the game hide-and-seek. What a fun time, especially if you were the one doing the seeking. As we grow up, we began to understand another kind of hide-and-seek. We hide our emotions and feelings because we do not want to become too transparent. Often, those who love us will ask us questions and seek to try and help us. In the Bible, Jesus Christ says to us in Matthew 7:7, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you." Instead of hiding your emotions and feelings today, talk with God and ask Him for all your needs. Heartbeat is brought to you by the Salvation Army.
Rain and storms moving in from the west tonight. Heaviest rain around the Shoals where a flash flood watch is in effect. The low at 62. Tomorrow, rain and thunderstorms likely during the day. The high 70. Friday becoming mostly sunny. The high 62. And a beautiful day on Saturday, sunny with a high at 74. I'm James Spann on Sports Radio 730 and 1039 The Ump.
Now back to the big dog. This show is rough.
Remember waiting for the school bus. Danny T says on that old Birmingham deal in this new stadium down there, the ship has sailed on Birmingham being anything other than a dumpster fire in the entertainment and sports world. And I don't have the energy nor the inclination to talk about soccer today. Okay. I really wasn't talking about soccer. I was just stating a fact. I'm just stating that fact. Nothing major about Major League Soccer. That should be their logo. Or their saying. That maybe not would. That maybe wouldn't play well for them. Point is, I'd go all in, man. If you're going to do a 55,000-seat open-air stadium for UAB, it's like in the middle. Going to do it, okay? 75,000 seats. Retractable dome. This is the state of college football. You're the biggest city in the state. You're content they have the third biggest stadium? Bring the college football playoff. Get the SEC championship game back. Look at all the things you can do. All right, we'll be back. Fab 5 is next on 730-1039 AM.
730 and 1039, The Ump. More sports.
I'm Chris Walls, and I'm a truck driver from Missouri. For 13 hours a night, I sit in my truck and I drive. Out of boredom, I'll stop and eat. If I'm not doing fast food, I guarantee there's a bag of chips open on my dashboard. That was all until Andro 400. I started out 4 months ago, and since taking Andro 400, I have dropped 45 pounds. I'm sleeping better. There's no cravings. I actually don't even think about food. My knee pain went away. I've had some lower back issues, and I've noticed that that went away, and I can only contribute that to Andro 400. One thing that Andro 400 said on the radio ad, says it attacks belly fat. Well, let me tell you, it did. The second month is where I saw a drastic change in the size of my stomach. I've lost 6 inches. This product really does work.
So guys, if you'd like to experience similar results, then get Andro 400, the safe, natural, and inexpensive way to boost your testosterone. Go to andro400.com or call 888-400-0435. 888-400-0435.
The durability of tile, the beauty of wood. It's easier than ever to have both with Wood Look Tile. The Home Depot makes the wood look floor you want affordable with Ansley Amber Wood Look Tile starting at $1.89 a square foot. It truly is the best of both worlds, durable and beautiful. Ansley Amber Wood Look Tile starting at just $1.89 a square foot. Only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Selection varies by store.
Join Macy's and make good sense to round up, give back, and help support your local food banks. Here's how it works. Shop any Macy's store, round up your purchase, and donate your extra change up to 99 cents in support of Macy's Bag Hunger. Your donation will go to your store's local food bank and help feed families in your community. Round up your in-store purchase and make good sense and help Bag Hunger today at your local Macy's. Learn how you can help at Macy's.com/Macy's Gives.
This Thursday, Atlanta Braves baseball is finally back as we celebrate opening day at SunTrust Park.
The 3-2 pitch, here it comes, and there it goes.
With a dynamic roster and some of the most exciting young players in baseball, this Braves squad is looking to make some noise, and it all starts on opening day against division rivals, the Philadelphia Phillies. Live from SunTrust Park in Atlanta, Braves pregame hits the air at 1:55 Central on the Atlanta Braves Radio Network.
I'm a veteran. We hit a mine in Vietnam. When I came home, I didn't know where to turn.
As America's veterans face challenges, DAV is there.
My victory's been never giving up hope. My wife is always there to remind me we have a life to live.
DAV provides a lifetime of support, helping veterans of every generation get the benefits they've earned.
I am a veteran, but after I got out, I spent 2 years alone and homeless.
Every year, DAV helps more than a million veterans so they can reach victories great and small.
My victory was finding the support to get back on my feet. Now I'm getting things right with my family.
I finally admitted, with my PTSD, I wasn't doing well.
But there's more to be done and more victories to be won.
Now I wish I'd found DAV sooner. I am a veteran. My victory is just enjoying each day.
Help support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
So this year, I ordered my prom dress from Shady Deals, and when it came, it said, some assembly required.
I ordered these batteries for my digital camera, but the batteries weren't included, so I had to draw all of our family memories.
I ordered a 60-inch TV from Shady Deals. What they actually meant is, you can't sit further than 60 inches away.
Be a savvy consumer. Research businesses, report false advertising, and settle transaction claims with the BBB.
Test your advertising IQ. Go to bbbadtruth.org.
org.
I'm Sarah.
I'm Ellen.
One night I was at a bar.
I had one too many drinks.
I got behind the wheel.
I got a cab.
A squirrel ran across the road.
I swerved.
The cab swerved.
I hit a guy.
The cabbie just missed a guy.
I wish I took a cab.
Thank goodness I took a cab.
You have the choice to save a life. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
Time is running out. African penguin colonies have emptied in the last 5 years as their breeding populations have gone from 2 million pairs to less than 25,000. Together, we can turn things around. Your support to the San Diego Zoo Global Wildlife...
WUMP Madison. W28OBA Madison Huntsville. A Cumulus station. The Valley's home of the Atlanta Braves.